You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule.
What is going on, Internet? Welcome to Double Tap. This is Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGC. I am your host, Andres Crashtag Marinas, and with me, my player two, sometimes player three, Gabriel Sadekrilla Medina. Sometimes, man. What's going on, brother?
What's happening? Good to see you.
Welcome, welcome. Another day, another episode. This is actually a late recording.
Yes.
Let's be very upfront. I just had a nice sizable cup of coffee. You had a, I don't even know what that is. Frappuccino. Vanilla. God, any more basic.
You can also get one here at Localhost Arena.
You can, where we are recording here in Philadelphia. Yes, Localhost Arena in Philadelphia. We're not live, but we are. No. Yeah, this is not a live episode. Exactly. So if you guys are like, yo, I missed a stream. No, you didn't miss a stream. We just couldn't stream today.
Right.
But you are still hearing us here. The podcast will go on. As tired as we are, as much as I would love to go home, we got some news.
This is your home.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my home, basically. So those that are new, welcome. This is a podcast dedicated to everything in the fighting game community. We've got news. We've got some salt. We've got some rumors. Kind of decent episodes. We got some leaks that have been proven to be very much correct in many different levels. Mm-hmm. But before we actually go into that, this is just a quick disclaimer for the last episode. I kind of want to formally just go out and say sorry for the lateness on that episode. There was some trials and tribulations that caused the episode to be late. We do what we can here to make sure, you know, it's small crew. You know, our main man, Jared, does a lot of work behind the scene. He does God's work when it comes to this show. And sometimes we don't make it easy for them to turn out a show. So I actually want to apologize to our listeners for it being a day late, or even more than a day late. Actually, it was supposed to go out Friday. I think it went out Monday.
Yes.
We're making sure to, you know, tighten things up, keep our frame, one frame links really tight, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to this show. So
reactions.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it's, once again, wanted to send out that apology about that. And we'll, you know, we want to make sure to keep this show on the road. There's going to be some changes coming up real soon. But in the meantime, I want to make sure that, you know, you guys, dedicated listeners that, you know, have supported us and all that, we're fully transparent with.
Mm.
But with that, we're actually going to get into our Fighter's Corner. We have some DOA 6 news. I mean, DOA 6 is out.
What does DOA mean? No, I'm kidding.
DOA 6 is out.
I don't want it to mean the other DOA.
Yeah. it's only been out barely. It's been barely a week.
Yeah. March 1st. Yep.
Yeah, it's been barely, it's not even been a week. This is recorded on the 6th to be released on
the 8th.
It was
pretty much out since Winter Brawl. I mean, people were playing it.
True.
People had their copies, but it's officially out.
And with it being officially out, it actually did make the top sales chart in the Japanese market for PS4. Good thing for Tecmo for that one. But on the other side, it actually didn't sell a whole lot. I mean, 26,442 copies. This is just physical. This is not actual digital.
Right.
But it did top Super Smash Brothers, which was on the charts for number one for a while. But like I said, they were just at 25,600.
This is just Japan, though.
This is just the Japan market. So we don't know right now what the numbers in the Americas will be.
Yeah.
We probably won't see anything like that after maybe Q1 gets wrapped up, really.
No, it doesn't have that standing power like a Street Fighter or a Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, it's different. Yeah. You know, it also different markets. There's going to be a different sense of what's popular and what's going to be hot for a while. Like I said, Smash is up there. Yeah. Super Mario Brothers. U Deluxe is still is at number 3.
And then the brick game. I mean, Anthem
at 4. God, we're not going to get into that one. Left Alive and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu is still on the charts. Still
what,
on
Red Rings
top
again?
Five.
No, sorry.
So, yeah. But no, good on them. So they, you know, successful launch, quote unquote, saying that they're number one. But maybe the digital sales will show a little bit more. So besides that.
But this is crazy. I mean, I feel like they didn't do that much. It wasn't like it was on every,
It wasn't on everybody's radar.
Right, and DOA wasn't on every ad that I would watch video gaming content on. You know what I mean? Like, Anthem was on every ad. Division right now is on every ad.
Yeah.
You could have put DOA on every ad.
Yeah, man, different marketing budgets, so.
True, yeah. At least they're not using their Facebook as
the
main
they just
page.
Have to use their core values to figure out what they're going to do when it comes to marketing and
that's
just
probably
get it
why
out
they
there.
Sold so much in Japan.
Because they use their core values? Yes. Because Japan has core values. I mean, we all know this.
Even the women knew. No, let me stop. Right.
So with this, even though he's not here. Actually, I think he already just stepped out. But in spirit, Big Dame, usually our go-to guy when it comes to DOA.
What's his team again?
SoCal. I don't know. It's like a ditch walker.
Watch your mouth.
Ditch. I said ditch. Which doctor's own Big Dame? He gave us, you know, we kind of set that one like, yo, Dame, what's going on with DOA right now? What's your impressions? He's going to be on the next episode for like a more in-depth.
Okay.
Like just talk of how he feels about it, how the community has reacted. He
kind
of
gave us 2 weeks first impressions.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to bring him in the week of because it's still very early. You know, this weekend we have things like the bread and butter out in Xanadu.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Next Level's having a tournament right now.
Next Level is having a tournament.
I saw Excalibur Blade and someone else in Grand Finals. So.
Yes. I think Excalibur won it, as a matter of fact.
Nico.
With Nico. But yeah, so we're going to wait till like the following week just to kind of give it that first week. What is it? That first week.
The honeymoon phase.
Illusion of like, everything's good. Everyone's great.
Yeah. I asked if anybody was bad and he says, no, everybody's good.
Like, we'll see because it takes a little bit for the meta to actually grow. But off the get-go, you know, he kind of gave us the top 4/top 5 of characters that he's saying are just like a problem right now. So Nico, right up there.
Of course.
Hayabusa. As well, Raito. Raito, I'm not surprised. Like,
no, he's a boss character.
If you go back and listen to the episode where we actually talked about his release trailer, like he may be slow, but like his damage and just like his utility is just really up there. Like he just seemed like he was going to excel. So
Big Dame said he's like Heihachi. He's basically Heihachi of the game.
Okay. Yeah. So Ayane, but he.
He was more like he was hesitant. Yeah.
He said Ayane could be good, but then some of her tools kind of lack. Mm. So he's
she's
still early.
She's a basic character. She's a far range character.
Okay.
That's always been that way.
So up to debate on that one, but then Faze,
of course. Yeah.
So the top four right there, who we're probably gonna see.
If you got the pre-order, you had Faze, I believe. So, mm-hmm. You know.
I didn't get a chance to ask him how online was to like what he was to like there, the most common he said, character he's seeing.
So he said there's actually patches coming so that when you play with a certain character, you unlock their outfits, not just all of the outfits.
I was seeing videos of that. I was like, all right, I did this. Who do I get? Oh, why did I get that character's costume? Yeah. That was like kind of going around like it was killing people's drive to try to unlock costumes because you weren't even getting costumes for the character you wanted, right? Like,
so he said that is being changed, and he said that the network issues will be considered as well. Also, there was a video that showed up of Nico just pushing a character through a wall, and they were going down a hill.
Yeah, that was so, there's definitely week, it's literally week one, week zero.
First patch was like day one patch, as they always do, of course. So, like, you know.
There's going to be some QA, of course, so we're just going to be the testers for it.
Yeah.
So expect the next episode to be a lot of DOA talk. And definitely going to have Big Dame's his energy in the next episode as well.
In the house.
Yeah, for real. In the house. Like, which doctor's Big Dame? In the house. You know, right here. Follow me at Big Dame 21. You know what to do.
Yeah.
He's always clapping, for real.
Yeah. Does he go to PP Pants City?
Sorry,
that's a reference to the next. Sorry.
Oh, is that what that is? Yeah. Okay. Well, Tekken 7. Also well,
you were in the middle of a thought, though. My bad.
I was in the middle of a thought, but you derailed me, so we're just going to move on.
Jeez.
Tekken 7, Negan and Julia are out. They literally came out the day after the last episode.
Yeah, so.
So we got to miss out on that. But with them being out, closing out Season 2, some minor changes also came along with that. Where they hit like some quality of life things, like finally you can actually do character select without having to go to stage select.
Okay.
Commando was like super stoked for that one. Besides that, the adjustment.
Wait, character select without going to stage?
Yeah, like you had to go to stage. You can switch characters without going to stage select. Like you can keep the stage, change the characters. Like normally if you go to character select, you pick the character, it'll always hit you to stage select automatically afterwards versus you wanting to keep the stage, character change.
Okay.
All right.
Interesting.
The ability to turn rage and counter hits on during warm-ups is pretty cool. Additional gallery illustrations and new character panels for Marduk, and Armor King.
Now you got me thinking, is that actually like a... how do I say, like a tactic? Like, oh man, this stage sucks for this character, but I'm going to lose and then I'm going to body this guy with this, you know.
Potentially, yeah. Hmm. It's your choice. So with that, like I said, Negan, Julie are out.
Yeah. Corner carry monster.
Well, actually, you know, before we go into them.
Yeah.
Other characters got some balance adjustments. King, Yoshimitsu, Alyssa, Shaheen, Josie, Gigas, Nina, Master Raven, Lee, Geese, and Anna. Lei, Marduk, and Armor King. But nothing too intense.
Quality of life kind
of. Yeah, it's like there are adjustments to hit reactions of certain airborne raid drives. Nothing too wild. It isn't like a full balance patch. Like, not everybody got hit.
Right.
Most characters really didn't get hit. It was just to clean a couple things up. So Negan and Julie are out. Once again, I kind of just talked a little bit with Commander for a second, because I really want to let the patch go, see like how Negan and Julie are going to affect everything. But first impressions, though, he said Negan is good. At high levels, Negan's basic tools, like his tools are just that, they're basic. So at a high play, he's not as dangerous, but like at the same time, as soon as he said that, he kind of backpedaled a little bit, going like, but if he gets one hit, he gets what he said, quote unquote, stupid Negan stuff.
Yep.
Where he can take you to any wall, anywhere. His wall carry is just out of this world.
Pretty good rage drive too.
Yeah. So he says he's good at that level, but at high play, he feels like he can get figured out really quickly. So
yeah,
one's up in the air.
His range isn't there.
Oh yeah. I thought his walk speed was slow, but he said it's at average at the very least. So it's not bad. It's not below average, but it's not excelling really, so he's not really at a disadvantage for it. Julie, on the other hand.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he says just straight up, like, she's stupid.
Corner monster.
She's
corner carry monster. Yeah.
She's not too hard to play. Mm. And it's just she just works out really well. So probably has the best victory of all. Make sure to subscribe.
Yeah,
I saw it. I was like, wow, I'm done.
I thought she was going
to
jump
make
into like
sure
a channel.
Make sure to subscribe and follow my Patreon for my exclusive Snapchats.
Wow. Did she say that?
Oh, premiums, yes. Oh, premium nice. Snapchats.
Whoa. Geez.
Definitely. Yeah. IRS. Mm-hmm. Whoop, whoop. Anyway. Yeah, so...
what is it? Fan art? No.
That's another one I'm going to ask. I'm really waiting to... You know, I'm going to talk to some of the guys from like the collective, like Bedtime, like Victim of Ritual, Sour Piggy, and of course,
Amethyst
Commander. Amethyst, yeah, I'm going to kind of probe their brains just to see what they're thinking. Because past that, like Commander, like kind of scoffed. He's the Nazca player. He's waiting for his real character to get announced. So he was like, "Yeah, he's just keep an eye on those characters, but nothing other than that."
It's kind of weird. Like, is it really Negan or is it Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
It's probably just Jeffrey.
It's just Jeffrey Dean.
It's just Jeffrey.
So can we just call him Jeff? Is in the game.
It's just Jeff. Bat. Let's go, Jeff.
Because then I was playing my friend Ron, the Mad Stallion. Mm-hmm. Go follow him on Twitter. plug in. What's funny is that he was playing me and he just had white hair, leather jacket, no sleeves, Negan. And I'm just like, because he customized
it. It's so weird to see some of the shit Negan is like being put on, like all pink or something.
Shower head. I can't.
You're
right. Yeah. Like,
but he's still menacing though. But he's still menacing as shit though.
Wesker like, shades and all. You know, like, it's hilarious seeing like that. So it's basically Jeffrey Dean Morgan in cosplay.
Basically. So they're out. We're going to let this also simmer in a little bit, bask in the sauce, marinate, and see where they turn out. I'm really looking forward to the next Go for Broke here out in Philadelphia and a couple of the other locals just to see what people, because they're going to bring these characters out. Like,
of course.
There's no way they're not.
Whoever wins, if they win with Negan, they better say, taking it like a champ.
There you go.
Something like that.
Should
Sorry.
Pop off pretty well.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to wait and see, let that simmer down and kind of see where they kind of range out. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot more Negan, but Julia, I am not yet. I'm pretty sure we're going to see her way more of her.
And, you know, remember, who's the guy that tackled Harada on the stage at Tekken World Tour? The Alyssa player. Eliza? No, not Eliza. Ambravovich.
Wait, Harada got tackled?
Not tackled, but there was a player. Who's the player? He always has the cap on. Not cap, like his long hair.
Oh, you mean when they announced Julia?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I cannot remember the gentleman's name, but I do remember now. He was like so hype for that.
Yeah.
And Harada was just like
Steve Fox player. He plays the android, the robot girl. Oh man, I'm so. He won Evo Japan.
Alyssa.
Yeah, but he won Evo Japan, didn't he?
Nee?
No, not.
I thought Nee won Evo Japan. Oh no, I'm thinking of the previous Evo Japan, not the one that just passed.
The one that we had attended.
Oh yeah, I thought that was Nee that won that one.
No, was it? Yeah, it was Nee, but second place went to.
Wait for it. Oh, come on.
It's right there. Not John Ding. Dimebag? No. Sorry.
We have to figure this one out. Hand.
Yeah. Chanel. There we go. Chanel rushed the stage when Julio was announced. And I was just like, oh dear. This must be his
Must
be his time.
Yeah.
Now he's won, I think. He won a couple of, I think he won an event this year. Or 2018. Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see what Tekken 7 holds for these characters. Now next we're going, this is kind of where a lot of the meat's going to be at. So MK11, I won't say right around the corner, but we are at T-minus.
Month and a half.
Yeah, month and a half.
Month and a week.
No, you're right, month and a half.
We're recording this on the 6th, so that's...
Yeah.
Month and...
17 days.
Yeah, month and a half.
Month and a half. You got it right. So MK11 coming out on the 23rd of April.
Figure out maybe trucks and things and falling.
So there's been a trailer that got dropped today.
Yes.
So this is one of those rare times where we do a show and some big announcement happens on the day of the show or sometime that we can actually cover it and not get hit with shit afterwards. That's like the most annoying part of doing it on Wednesdays. So we got a story trailer that came out for MK11. That kind of paints a lot of a bigger picture and answers a lot of questions too.
Yeah, and I don't want to be tooting my own horn, but I think I was right about Kronika. She's not usable because she just doesn't fight. She's just like an elder god that doesn't
that influences fight. Kind of deal.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So basically, it's just shy of 3 minutes. This trailer is just an entire story trailer, so it's all about the cinematics, the really awesome basically the MK11 movie that's going to happen because we're going to see it on YouTube. MK11 movie, high def 4K, 60 frames a second. Check it out here.
Watch it instead of fighting the whole time.
It's like an hour and a half, right? Like, I'm down. I watch those.
Oh, yeah. No.
I definitely watch those because NRS's cinematics are just fired.
It's not just the cinematics. They actually have good gameplay sometimes.
Yes, they do. Sometimes. So basically, we get to see the whole point of the whole...
not like
basic
Marvel
story of Kronika, which is the antagonist, explaining that Raiden fucked up her, time is her domain, how everything works, how
been messing
the
it
events
up since...
that transpired were all under her design. Raiden going back in time in MK9 and changing things up and changing things all the way to the point that MKX ended up at. She says he messed up her design, so now she is interfering, or he was interfering, so now she has to step up and go I'm going to fix this, or I'm going to stop his she said, I'm going to stop his interference in the time. And with that, we get to see some really interesting things. For one, we got
MK3, everybody.
Not everybody, you're right in the character. So we actually get to see... some characters completely confirmed because there's been leaks.
Yeah.
There has been screenshots of entire character select screens now.
This is how you fix everything.
Yeah. This, from what some people are in the community even stating, this is how this was NRS's answer to all the leaks. You know what? Leaks are out there. Let's get a trailer out or let's keep the hype going and let them just make sure, you know what? It's confirmed. These are the characters. No more of that leaked stuff. We're not going to hold it back anymore. Even though there is certain characters that were still leaked and aren't in this trailer.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure they're going to.
But this is a way that you can have people stop looking at the leak and be like, let's watch this.
And keep the hype on the IP and stuff that, right?
So
I'm
sure they had this at the ready, just in case.
We get to see what it looks like, Kronika kind of pulling characters out of time itself. She has that ability to even summon characters out of certain timelines.
This looks like a much younger Aaron Black. Now, Aaron Black has been through... He's already a time traveler.
First of all, it's confirmed that is Aaron Black. That he's in it. This is actually our first confirmation outside of the leaks and screenshots that could have been Dr. Yo Photoshop. Pretty ridiculous tool, right? You can kind of make anything up.
He's already... He's not just a time traveler. He lives forever.
Because if you know the lore, he's been around since... thousands of years or hundreds of years, something like that.
I think he can't.
Because he was from Earthrealm, but he made it to Outworld. We don't know the full timeline, but he's been around for a very long time.
And people have hired him, like Shang Tsung has hired him. He knows everybody.
Yeah, like he's been around. He's been around the block, right? Yeah. This Aaron Black that we see here is way younger. He doesn't have the weird black makeup going on around his face. He doesn't have long hair or longer hair. And
his face is not covered by, his face is covered by something else. It's not like
is that
attached
the same mask?
To his face.
Yeah,
it looks
exactly.
like a bandana more than something else.
So on top of that, we get to see the Aaron Black show up right next to Scarlett. Then we get, of course, Baraka. We get
now
MK3
Kano. Yep.
So we're talking now, we're getting specific characters from specific talents, which we didn't even get to see this kind of version of Kano in MK9, when we did do the MK3 storyline. So it's really cool. So they're kind of like, it's really insane how NRS they are pulling from their lore, right? Like, why did MK3 Kano not like show up in MK9 when people like Scorpion, his outfit changed from MK1 and 2 to 3, where it, like, you know, it was that time when ninjas had that different outfit where it had more blocky,
very
like
plain looking.
Yeah, he had that changed, but why not Kano, right? He still looked like Kano from, or rather, technically the Kano from AK9 didn't even look from original Kano. He's not bald. No. He looks more like how you keep harping, you know, it was the homage to the original Aussie actor that did it in the MK movie, right? No, this is straight up like Kano from MK3.
Yeah. Not even MK4 Kano. MK2.
Yeah, meaning like the MK3 that we played in, you know, in the arcades or in Super Nintendo or whatever was like, that's a different dimension from the MK9 realm that we played, right? Yeah. Which is just fucking bonkers.
And this Shao Kahn is just...
Hey, the fact that you said Shao Kahn is insane because normally a DLC character... That like is a pre like a bonus to my knowledge isn't really involved in the story like that. Like Goro was DLC for MKX. He wasn't really involved in the story whatsoever, right?
No.
The fact that Shao Kahn is a pre-order bonus, but he's intricate to the story, I found very interesting.
Makes me think. I mean, you're gonna be fighting Shao Kahn. I think they showed it, but at the same time, is it gonna be a merge sort of like when we had in the other game Dark. Or not Dark Khan. Well, yeah, it could be a Dark Khan or Dark Chronica, Shao Chronica.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, this is a completely different design Shao Kahn that we've seen before. Yeah. I've not seen this elaborate
ass helmet.
Well, he is a dragon. He's half dragon or something like that. I believe Lord, that's what it is.
Or Hydra from that terrible part 2 movie.
Yeah, that too. But technically, isn't Hydra a dragon?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe.
So, you know, Shao Kahn is he was defeated at MK9, but that wasn't the last we heard from him. We, of course, didn't see him anything about him in MKX because he was dead in that timeline.
The only thing we heard was
this
name
could be
Kotal Kahn.
This could be a Shao Kahn from like a, of course, it's from a different timeline, but like maybe a universe that he did win, right? Maybe that's why he looks so elaborate and such. And he's an integral part because you see in the trailer that Kronika's asking him, hey, will you aid with your armies to make this work? And he says, yes, I will. So he's going to be a big, you know, a menace that we're definitely going to have to deal with.
This is, all right, this is the arena. In this part of the trailer is the arena from...
Two? Looks like it's from two.
Well, but it's also...
Because remember, it's the one where Shao Kahn is sitting on the chair and he has, like, his prisoners on the side.
Yes. So
in MK9, this was that same arena where Kung Lao got his neck snapped.
Yes. So that's where, that's where somebody had to die at that point in MK9, which was basically MK2, the end of MK2.
Yeah, end of MK2.
That it was Johnny Cage who was dead there. Back in MK2, Johnny Cage dies.
Are you talking the movie or the fucking game?
I'm talking about the game. That's why it wasn't in 3. In the book, Mortal Kombat 2, Johnny Cage is dead.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Because there's even a tombstone for him in 3 in the background.
MK3. Trilogy.
It wasn't until Trilogy or Ultimate that he got brought back, and he was like the last person to like get like digitized into the game. It wasn't even the same actor because of lawsuit stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we get to see that familiar stage. Then we get to see a young non-revenant Liu Kang.
Yeah,
MK3 Liu Kang to boot, because he's got the like he just has the headband. He's got the garbs and he's got like the same kind of pants from like MK3 with the spread stripes.
He
on
had
the side.
A headband in 2,
and longer
just
and longer
hair.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. Longer hair.
Disco hair in part 2.
Jade, non-revenant Jade as well.
How is that Jade? She's red.
Yeah. Well, she's got the staff and everything
staff.
Right there.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It's a big giveaway. Kung Lao. Yeah. Non-Revenant, yeah. Once again. Not surprised. We already know these two characters were going to be in it. They've been shown in other trailers, but you see this is like when they come in and here's a biggie.
That was, yeah, I didn't catch it earlier.
Raiden.
Yeah.
Non-corrupted Raiden, meaning, which now is like kind of dividing because later in the trailer you get to see the corrupted current Raiden, but he is still aiding Earth's forces. Like he's still with Sonya and
talking to the elder gods, not betraying them.
Yeah. But I think that was this Raiden, not the corrupted one.
That was this Raiden, yes.
So we don't know whether or not that corrupted Raiden changes back or if this is another Raiden that's getting pulled to maybe replace the Revenant one that maybe potentially dies. Because mm-hmm. technically that Raiden is not an elder god. He can be killed. Elder gods cannot be killed. He can. He's like a demigod. Like Fujin. Fujin's also a demigod.
Fujin. Yes. Okay. Fujin.
So on top of this, we also get to see when she's amassing, Kronika's amassing her Shao Kahn and basically her army. There's another character next to him that showed up in the character select screen. I am not aware. At first, I was like, oh shit, Reptile, right? Like next to Shao Kahn.
It looks blue, but okay.
He's blue.
Yeah. The Navi.
From what I understand, this is the Collector.
Okay.
With a K.
Well, yeah.
I have not gone down the rabbit hole of figuring out who the fuck the Collector is yet. But as soon as this show's over, I'm definitely going to be checking it out.
Is he collecting for Thanos? Sorry.
I am not sure. But he is definitely there. Definitely a character I've not seen in any kind of character select screen.
Yeah.
He's got four arms too. Yeah. Yes, he does.
It's pretty cool.
Who's
the character behind Kronika though?
So yes, that's another one. So we get to see the new character. That was
sorry,
added.
Sorry that you guys can't really see what we're watching, but go ahead and check out the video.
At 40 seconds,
Walk through it with us, and let us know who they are.
At 40 seconds, we'll do some timestamps for you. At 40 seconds, there is basically the whole shot of everyone there. It's Jarrus. There we go. Jarrus is. I couldn't remember the other guy's name.
Yeah.
So Jarrus is there with Kronika, but then between Kronika and Jarrus, there's a hooded figure face down, looks human, but it's kind of palish blue skin.
Yeah.
We don't know who that character is.
Right.
At all. Like, that is just like new age to me.
Is Jarrus just Tremor?
With time, kind of.
Okay.
Then we get to see, of course, Kotal Kahn, a much more updated version
great.
Of Kotal Kahn. You see his face? Like, it's not that his skin is blue, it's that he's like painted war paint.
Right. I always thought he was just some sort of monster maybe.
Nope.
But no, he's human.
Yeah.
Or at least some sort of...
Well, we did see him before he had blue skin, and if you look at MKX during
you're right.
Prior to him being all blue. So
like
it's some sort of
guy.
War paint kind of deal. So you can see he's working together with Raiden, uncorrupted Raiden anyway.
Yeah.
Where they have to work together.
More sensical Raiden.
Yeah, exactly.
So is this a Revenant code? The Cabal?
Cabal, yes. Okay. Cabal is still a Revenant. Okay. So yeah. Basically, the trailer goes on to, hey, we got to stop everyone, or we got to stop the evildoers from doing their evil things. Then we get to see the first look at, not first because the Revenants counted, but this is like the first we've seen of this where we're seeing young Johnny Cage and elder, more seasoned Johnny Cage of this timeline actually talking to each other, meaning we're going to see those like younger versions actually interact with each other.
I thought
it was just only going to be like a Kung Lao, Liu Kang thing because their characters strayed so far their paths that let's try to write that. But no, it seems like we're definitely going to be pulling from the good guys like that. Yeah.
Aaron Black.
Cassie Cage. We got some new characters.
Go back to that Cassie Cage though? Because okay. So that's very much okay, cool. No, I'm just saying I prefer older Cassie Cage younger looking and previous games Cassie Cage.
Yeah. Well, that
I'll
ain't
go into
her.
That soon.
Shaolin Monks shout out right here.
Dude, Shaolin Monks is a great game.
It is a great game.
And,
So what is it? Where was I at? you got me losing it, man. So this trailer basically is just showing so much. And like you can pause in any frame where there's action going on, where there's multiple characters there, and you'll just like you can like just get tidbits of the story. Like at 1:25, you're gonna see younger Johnny nose bleeding, like they're hiding behind a truck because Kano's shooting at them with a minigun. Then we see Sonya and Cassie. But if you look at Sonya looks really fucking young.
Yeah, that's very MK1, Sonya.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it's like going to be one of those weird situations where Cassie's like going to see her parents when they were young. And their parents are going to be, holy crap, we have a daughter. And it's going to be really interesting, especially
Cassie her own mom?
Right? No, it's going to be one of those Terminator things, right? Like, got to go from the future. And I'm like, your head, what? But the trippy part about it is like seeing young Sonya's, because like, I don't know if you saw the recent update they did to Sonya's face, like current timeline where basically they got rid of the wrinkles. Like, she looks way more younger.
Okay.
Yeah. It was just like a small thing that I think they enough people were bitching about it.
There was a character next to Shao Kahn there. Who is that?
Yeah, this
Who are they?
There is just a whole lot going on.
I know what it probably is. Those are alternate costumes for some of the characters in the game, because that was Cabal next to him.
Was it?
I believe so.
Well, it seems
you want to go back. Okay, fine.
No, we're just going to skim right through.
There's a lot of guns in this trailer, by the way.
First of all, fucking yes. Special forces eat your heart out. Like, there is so many guns going off. Like, everyone's just strapped. But and also they've even stated, like, in this game more than any other, like, the combatants are actually going to use their weapons within the game, like, way more. So it's kind of like that MK4 feel where everyone had a weapon, but here it's like very integrated into their kits. So yeah, Raiden's just asking for help. They're saying Kronika has, like, you have to find the key to Kronika's powers, yada yada yada. Aaron Black's fighting against, looks like it's Sonya. Sonya's doing some crazy flip kicks, going through bullets, and then she roundhouse kicks my man. Because the other reason why I think this is a younger Aaron Black is, like, he's not like as, like, he's skilled, but he doesn't seem like he's as suave as he's been in in MKX.
Looks
right,
more
like,
anxious to get the shot.
Yeah, just like, yeah, exactly.
Nonchalant.
Exactly. Yeah, more Gats. This was
that
fucking
was great.
Godlike.
Yeah.
Fucking saying, 146, this, bro. 146 to like 148 or 150. Like, Cassie just letting rounds go, and Cabal just like
revenanting them.
Bro, that was hype. I am so ready to watch this story, like, to watch just the cutscenes, because it looks so sick.
Straight up Deadpooling those bullets.
We're seeing, like I said, we're seeing the current timeline of Cassie, the Cage family, and Revenant.
Yeah.
Raiden there. So it's not like he has kind of strayed the path. Like, he's like a merciless kind of guy, but it's not like he's doing it to be evil.
To save the world.
He's just going about it like, I'm not going to be passive no more. Right. Like, so it's going to be interesting, because some people could probably be like, yo, I like where he's going, and other people be like, no, that's not right. Mm-hmm. You know, lawful good, chaotic evil kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because most villains don't look at themselves
as villains,
bad
right?
Guy.
They're the heroes of their stories, right? Another cool clip we got to see really fast. It's really fast. If you'll blink and you'll miss it. It's like less than a second.
I missed it.
Hanzo Hisashi versus Scorpion. So Revenant Scorpion versus, you know, human Scorpion.
Scorpion
so,
with a family versus Scorpion without. No,
they
the
both
ghost.
Don't have a family, but it's just the other one like made peace
one
with
is the
things.
Ghost. Yeah.
So we're going to see those paths cross. So it's going to be like those really cool philosophical moments where, like,
it's going to make me want to put MK1 back in my Sega. I already did last weekend. So.
The trailer just goes on to just show just free for all action left and right. Yeah. Raiden going in, Jackie Brigg being actually confirmed, and she looks a little different. Got some dreads going on right there. Still got the machine gun arms as it seems too. Got a quick glimpse of her. You know, definitely got updated. Mid fatality. Don't get to see the whole thing, but
is that fatality?
Oh, that's totally fatality.
No,
especially when you're seeing that.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, one, Megan, two, boom. Three. There goes your shoulders.
Aaron Black. Okay.
Aaron Black fatality
was
God.
That's not a fatality. That is his X-ray.
Oh, that's his fatal blow.
Oh yeah. Look at the way
the
cutscene is.
Yeah,
that's the camera.
The cameras.
Yep. And the blood squirts.
Yeah, because that's a fatal blow there for Cassie as well.
Cassie's fatal blow is quite brutal.
Yeah, very much so.
Pretty good, man.
So that was one hell of a trailer to wake up to in the morning to see tweeted out by Ed Boon. If you haven't had a chance, go check it out. Mortal Kombat 11 official story trailer. See if you can find any details there. Like, I kind of like I nitpicked a little bit. It's because I watched the trailer several times, because there's always those little hidden secrets in there. There's actually even certain scenes in there where you're seeing a character that was like literally like maybe 10 frames of a character peeking out of like a corner, and like I don't recognize this half of this
like
person's
I said, that
face.
Shao
like,
Kahn part, go ahead and see if those are just Shao Kahn, like maybe
like miscellaneous bad
people.
Guy number 1 through 7,
or
do
if
you
he's
think
just copying
they seem
them.
Original enough that they could be something?
So Shao Kahn, sort of like how Kotal Kahn was like so fixated on trying to do his thing and have no one else focus on it, at least in MKXL or MKX. Mm-hmm. I think Kotal Kahn is going to be that same way, and then there's going to be sort of behind the scenes other things happening. Because it was in the other game, it was Kotal Kahn doing something, and then the other characters doing a whole other thing, trying to fight off his ward, but going to Shinnok.
Yeah.
And Shinnok was the main bad guy, where Kotokan thought he was the main bad guy, and he was going to, you know.
No, you were just a sub boss, bro. Yeah,
right.
So with that, there was also a combat cast that happened just today as well. We got to see some gameplay footage. So the combat cast is basically when they take two characters, or maybe even just one character, depending on what their schedule says. And they just basically do a breakdown on, in a sense of what the character's kit is. Of course, they have cats like, you know, 16-bit in, looking at it on the competitive side. Like, hey, at this range to this range, this character excels. You'll be using these tools most of the time.
Side exchanges.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So this time, the combat cast had more than one character. Had two. It was Cassie Cage and Kano. Mm-hmm. So it was a good breakdown where they talked about Kano's just entire kit, different loadouts. I'm still on the fence to figuring out how they're doing loadouts. Is it like variations still, or is it actual loadouts kind of like Injustice 2, where you can, like, of course you can add abilities to your character, and like we stated before, NRS formula, like we take what's good from the previous games and we perfect it and we add it to the next game, and that formula goes on and on and on and on and on, right? So they're definitely going that route. I just want to know if like they just got rid of variations straight up. If they did, that means we'll be back to the characters of Mortal Kombat where they have an entire kit and not like Sub-Zero can only do ice clones in this variation versus getting more weapons in this variation kind of deal, right?
Or this variation being butt and nobody uses it.
Yeah, or this variation being the most broken and no one notices until the end of the game.
Right.
Right? Like you know, all that kind of stuff.
Which was broken.
What?
Which was broken by the end of the game.
Sonya's demolition was stupid.
The one that Scar uses?
That they had to nerf after he like showed off how fucking busted it was. Yeah. It was. Grenades. And Smoke. Yeah. Like Smoke wasn't used a lot at first from Triborg. Smoke, and then like that was just the go-to thing. Like he just was just start. Godlike.
Mm-hmm. Neutral variation?
I think that was his neutral. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
It was Sub-Zero. Or you can pick Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero was like the hidden fourth one.
Oh, that was okay. Sub-Zero was the fourth one. Sub-Zero was the neutral one.
No, he was the hidden fourth one. Oh, Smoke was the OG original one, then Sector Cyrex. It was those three. It's just Sub-Zero was the fourth. Anyway.
Yeah. Cool.
We got to they sat down and talked about Kano. We're not going to go to every single detail, but basically Kano is a mid to more close range character where he just has command grabs. He has good poking tools, but like he has some decent ranged limbs to kind of get him from the mid range into the close. He has tools to then kind of get over zoning, like he has a roll and stuff like that. Super damage. If he's one of those characters, like you get in, like the world is your oyster kind of deal, right? You got command grab. You got all these tools. You can kind of get the opponent guessing.
He's got an overhead.
He has. So interesting thing about it, they talked about how like everyone has an overhead and a low, but the way they're routing this is that, you know, no one is going to have both that are great. So no one character should be able to 50-50 you to death, like where they can have an opening to like, if I overhead you, if I get a good overhead on you, you're losing 40-50%. If I hit you with this low, you're losing 40-50%. Mm-hmm. You guess wrong twice, you're dead. Like they are really gearing this to make sure it's as balanced as possible. So the way they have it is some characters will have a low starter that gets them their combo, and they'll still have an overhead, but their overhead won't really reward you as much. Like sure, you'll get damage, but you won't get your 50%. You know, like, you won't
get
your
40%. It'll be the second part of the string.
Yeah, it'll be just another way that if you want to throw in an extra 15-20%, you need to like slap off, you know, knock off your opponent. Go for the overhead, but you won't see a character that's excelling on both. Post the Kano, we then got to see Cassie Cage, where the big theme was she is a balanced character in the sense of she is not excelling in anything, but she's not bad at everything. She's basically the term Ryu is like, you know, you just have, you're an ordinary guy, right? You can just do everything, but you're not really a master at anything. You're a jack of all trades. So she has, you know, zoning, but her zoning isn't the greatest. She has good poking tools, but they're not like super broken. She's not crazy in close range, but she's not bad either. She has anti-airs that aren't terrible, but they're not like the greatest either. So she's just like overall just a character that can work in any range. Which is a good thing in a sense of, hey, you can pick her up and, you know, really get a fundamental understanding of the system with a character that can just hit all those ranges. But on the bad side, it's like, yo, it's not busted. She's not excelling at anything. It's going to be a true, you have to play like an honest character. Not the easiest path to win for some people. They need something that excels because they need a basically a road to walk down that's going to get them to their destination quicker, right? Versus they're all the same, you know, length kind of deal. There ain't no shortcut.
Yeah, I really did like her in...
She still has like there's definitely parts of her that are still there. Like she still has like the elbow kind of like mid. It's still there, and she it's got a two piece, and you can actually finish it into the shadow kick at the end. So it's like you still, like I said, that neutral is there. She's not bad at it, but it's not like the craziest. No, I didn't see a backflip actually on that. So she actually has like a shadow kick, but her shadow kick is actually straight up like it's not even an input motion. It's not a special move. She just like can do it.
I felt like it wasn't before. It was like a mid low mid.
Her shadow kick?
Yeah.
The one that went up?
Oh.
No, that was like her only shadow kick. Now that shadow kick, the Johnny Cage shadow kick, that's just a regular like I think it's like forward roundhouse or something.
Yeah, I remember that being there before. It was like a forward a mid was it mid? It was like a mid-low mid move that she had. I mean, you used her, right?
Mid-low mid?
Yeah, didn't she?
Nah, not that I'm thinking of.
Oh.
She had things like low overhead to that somersault.
Oh, she still has the low gun.
Yes.
That was something she had before.
She has like an instant air like dive kick as well.
Mm-hmm, I saw that.
But from what they said, it's like this verbiage I heard, he said it was like a universal one. Like I think he meant to say like neutral, like jumping neutral is like universally an overhead. But like hers is like a straight up dive kick. So
do you have the staff anymore?
It's like Brainiac's dive kick in Injustice too. It's just like you can make it that instant.
She have she used to have that too. No, all right, no. That Devorah has that kind of those kicks. Sorry, this is hard for viewers to see.
The kick
forward 4-4.
Yeah, yeah.
So
see there.
Does
you
she
go.
Have the staff instant. Anymore?
No, I did not see a baton or anything. Once again, I don't know. What even though they are like, you know, doing an exhibition of her movesets, like I don't think everything is there.
Yeah. That is a really slow projectile.
It is, but like if you catch them in a counter, it does 250. That's 25% of your health, like it fully charged. But the thing about those guns, she can charge them. She can fireball cancel them.
Okay,
so
nice.
Kind of remnants of like Liu Kang fireball, where you would do string into fireball, like. Yeah, like Cyborg and stuff could do that.
Devorah could.
Devorah could also do that with her little bug thing that she would like throw with the longest animation ever.
Yeah.
So she has similar movesets to that. I saw a couple people
do. Not just that, but Swarm Queen with the bug, you just run cancel and then go in for combos.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there's no run canceling in this game. But with
Jade
her,
has the run,
but with her
meter burn cancel.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. But with the way her like limbs are, she can kind of get away with like being able to like, so imagine string to fireball or guns being out, put them away to that elbow again. You know, you can kind of keep the pressure, right? Yeah. So depending on how you want to play her, you might be able to craft something, but that's what I mean. Like she's versatile. So she's balanced, but she's versatile because she's balanced because she can kind of just start on a good foundation no matter what. It's just all about how well can you play that type of style.
Question about the combo counter. What is that? Is that going up or down? Like, so there's a for those that are not, if you're not watching the combo cast while we're talking about it,
combat cast,
even better. There's a hit counter when you're looking at the game. There's a hit counter on the side, and it sort of goes up and down and changes color or something. I want to know if that's
like a
counter
ticker on it?
Or if it's the ticker for the combos. Is it the ticker for how much meter you're about to gain? Is it? Does it
I'm
for your
not
meter?
Sure.
I don't know.
I don't know. They haven't explained that specifically in the UI. I actually didn't even notice it until you pointed that out. Either.
If you go back to like the Kano stuff where you're showing combos, I don't know if it's like this is the combo counter, as in this is how far you're going to be able to go. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Yeah. So
sure. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Didn't seem to change that time.
Right. Or is it just gaining like? Is that the max damage you can get? Like, you know, is there more that you can do? And that's why it's sort
of indicated. I'm wondering
this, right?
Maybe like depending on how you play the game, could you get more coins or something during a versus match. You know how they have rewards and stuff, like the coins. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe
like the
a
more
full combo gives you a silver coin.
Exactly. Yeah. Something like that, potentially. But they haven't gone into those specifics. Right. We'll find out for sure.
Yeah. No, I was just curious. And the UI, what do you think of the UI?
Very minimal. I like it. Yeah. You know what's funny? It gives me a, like, it is just so weird to see how the game looks right now. Mm-hmm. Because of just like, of course, how good it looks for one.
Yeah.
Like how MK has just become.
Train the nuts.
Yeah, riding the nuts, dude. A lot of nut punching in this. Oh, that grab, that back grab is just so good.
By the way, if you're not watching this, she has a robot behind her, sort of like the Sonya Blade robot, but mm-hmm. she uses it in battle.
And then Sonya also has a robot too.
Oh snap! Yeah. Look at them using drones.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the UI, like, it looks good. I like it. It's very minimal. I'm just taken back by just how the game looks overall, which is just, wow. Wow, she got, like, a Shao Kahn, like, tackle going over there.
Yeah.
That's Kotal definitely Kahn a variation move. That's a variation move, kind of like on her UFC version that she did in
Mama Rousey. Yeah.
So
another thing, I feel like when it's close, it looks kind of awkward, though. Like, when they're close, when both characters are close, close to each other. Mm-hmm. The UI sort of looks like there's too much going on. It's weird. Maybe
you
because
mean like when a camera like zooms in.
Yeah,
and all?
When it zoomed in, maybe it's because when they're close up, you know, it sort of gets in the way because it's vertical.
Yeah.
And that's not a complaint. It's just something we're gonna have to get used to. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll definitely get used to it, but a lot of yellow. A lot of yellow versus a lot of just white and grays and blacks were in MKX. Like,
and it's weird looking at it on this stage. We're on the military stage, so it's
the desert,
very, very
all those
bright.
Browns and such. Yeah. Yeah.
Another good thing about the meter is that it goes up by itself.
I'm still actually sitting trying to figure out like the actual specifics on how all the meters work. Like, I know the information's out there. I just have to sit down and actually like read it and watch it. Because I really want to understand the system itself.
This is called Totes Cool, or is that
what?
Yeah, Totes Cool is a variation.
Totes Cool, yeah. Like tote.
Totally.
Yeah. So
not like tote bag. Whoa, that is a cool outfit. Yeah, if you look at her,
the gear
drone BFF.
Yeah. The gear in the game is just gonna be so sick. Yeah. There's like green orb.
That does not look terminally
legal. Does DPS, so it's damage over time if you're in it. Okay, if your opponent's in it, which is pretty wild. So you can't be in that area or else you're going
to punch them and leave them there to die.
Yeah, basically. But this is just variation. So the combat cast is still available on their Twitch. If you go check out NetherRealm on Twitch, you'll see it. It was just uploaded on the 7th. Oh, actually, no, excuse me, the 6th. It's now the 7th. We have been on this podcast for more than a day. That is insane.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So, guys, remember MK11, April 23rd. I think they already announced that they were going to do another combat cast on the 16th,
yes.
I believe it was. So, I'm looking forward to seeing who else gets announced or actually finally shown, because they were really close to slipping another character by mistake during the cast.
Ooh, but, really?
Yeah. Actually, that is going to really...
I just need Devorah gameplay.
They haven't done that yet?
No. Oh, man. But she was in the trailer. She was
announced
shown
early.
By Ed Boon.
Yeah, she was announced early on. So, that is actually going to do it for MK11, and that's really going to do it for us here on the Fighter's Corner. It's like, I know it was a lot of MK. It's just that, you know, they decided to give us a lot of material to work with.
Yeah,
and you know, I'm a fan. I'm biased. I'm sorry about that. So it is what it is. So we're actually going to go right into the randoms of the FGC. So we're going to see what's going on around the water cooler that is the fighting game community. And the first thing that actually came out, or that I came across, funny enough, was Gutex went online to, you know, putting out an email to, I believe it was subscribers, YouTube subscribers, or subscribers to Excellent Adventures or to Cross Counter in general, stating that, you know, it's a decently long email. And it definitely came from the heart, as he explains that Excellent Adventures is no longer happening, that the show's been kind of discontinued, it's kind of over now. It's for those that have been following, you know, or fans of Excellent Adventures,
Cross Counter in general,
yeah, correct. You kind of could see the writing on the wall that things have been different ever since Mike Ross, who used to be very much involved in it, or rather was, you know, half of the the entire show. You know, once he made his stand and like got over doing just fighting game things, he went on his way, did his thing, and Gutex went on to do his thing. He even states here, you know, like he had his path to walk. I got my own, and he's still doing work on with like other shows. Like he's doing, he has a podcast with Slasher. He's got other shows he's doing. He's been online and live streaming a lot. You'll see him on in many other like Twitch circles.
Yeah.
Yep, PogChamp. I think that's actually his name on Twitch. It's PogChamp. So
hey, he's got
the infamous. He will be forever known as that. But yeah, it was a. You could tell this was definitely a hard writing note for him.
Right.
It was a lot he just spewed out.
Yeah.
Talking to everyone about like, you know, hey, there's still three episodes to still be sent out. If you subscribe, you'll still be available to watch all the episodes until March. Then they'll be effectively shutting everything down. And of course, he has his words to say about like his experience with it. This, that, and the other, what people might be asking about. And just he's just being really transparent, as he said, you know, he wouldn't have gotten there or the show wouldn't have gotten there if it wasn't for the support of the fans, which is just absolutely true. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. But yeah, it's an interesting post. You guys can find it on like probably like the Street Fighter Reddit, Kappa, R Kappa. I think even Event Hub's posted something about it. Like he just, once this went out there, kind of hit all the usual suspects. But yeah, feel free to go check out the read on him. It seems a little bit long, but like I said, it's definitely seemed pretty sincere.
Yeah, okay.
But the transparency for your fans and all the respect that he had to actually, you know, make sure to let everybody know, that was a good thing. That was a good move. On to bigger and better things, man. It all happens for a reason, and just because you're not doing it anymore doesn't mean it was a regret or it went bad. It's just a stepping stone into something else. So
yeah, he also went into looking into a lot of different things. Like he was putting up videos of doing different types of
things, even stated he has a lot of projects that he wanted to work on, and now he's gonna have the time to be able to work on it, which is cool. So
yeah, it might have been a thing that just maybe died with Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, Street Fighter 5 not being as receptive when it came to that formula with Excellent Adventure. So like, you know, it's just, you just roll with the times, man. Like whether you want to go out while you're on top or, you know, as it slowly died out and slowed down, you want to go, like it's fine. As long as you learn from it and you just move forward.
All right.
So on top of that, so a really cool video came out from actually the YouTube page, No Clip, titled Designing Mortal Kombat Fatalities with Ed Boon. I came across this video. It's really cool. I think it's like about four minutes of Ed Boon basically explaining the process in which they have gone through making fatalities, like with different mindsets of it. Like, you know, hey, if we do this fatality this way, it kind of like shows off our system of how the blood is working and the particle effects, stuff like that, emphasizes certain things, certain design works. But then, like I said, he just goes into the concept of it, like, you know, with motion graphics, with mocap. Thank you.
Which was the motion capture. MK.
It was. but with motion capture and all, and he kind of goes into detail about it. Most recently, of course, with the joke of like, you know, Johnny Cage's infamous triple beheading fatality that was a glitch, and now they're paying homage to it in itself. It's funny, like before I watched this and I was looking at all the MK11 like fatalities, it's like it's so over the top, right?
Yeah,
it's so crazy that you would never see someone kind of duplicating these kinds of things. And on the other side of it, it's like they've been doing it for so long, it's almost like a parody in itself. Like, and that's what like Johnny Cage's uppercut like fatality just is. It's like kind of the statement of what MK fatalities are. They're just
They're so non-canonical. That's the thing.
And they're so like, it's such a parody of itself.
I was thinking about it today. You're so used to Mortal Kombat being fatalities, but then you're like, but there's a story behind Mortal Kombat. But none of these characters truly die because, I mean, unless they're like Revenant or whatever, but we're so used to them seeing them die. It's sort of like, I used to make the joke whenever I'd play Halo, like, oh, Master Chief died? Well, I'm so used to seeing him die all the time, so it's not like a spoiler to me in a certain game. You know, like, stuff like that. So,
yeah.
It's weird.
The video itself is just so good, especially talking, like, you know, he just, like, goes behind the scenes just talking about the design process for it. It was just a great watch. I suggest anyone that's just, if, whether you're into, you know, a big fan of MK or even game design in general, it's really cool to watch. So I would check out Designing Mortal Kombat Fatalities with Ed Boon on the NoClip YouTube channel for sure. It's really interesting. Jeez. And funny enough, they went into it in the Combat Cast too. They actually broke down the stages of Johnny Cage's uppercut fatality, which is really cool. So if you are checking out the Cassie Cage Kano joint, also take a look at their segment there, because it's just really fun stuff. And if you're just a fan of video games in general, you'll enjoy it.
It was something funny that it's funny that this was brought up. Let me see this one. Something funny that was brought up with Meza and I were talking about last week, that, or something that I brought up, was that you can only chop a head up in so many directions so many times.
Right.
So like sometimes you can sort of feel like where they got lazy with some fatalities. Like, Katana's fatalities in the old game were kind of booty.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, chop off your head, but chop off your head in this way, and then slice
or it. Or even MKX, they she sliced your hands or something, or sliced you up, and then, like, you fell over, and then she, like, got you in threes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
And then the other one I don't like in this game is Raiden's fatality, where it's just pop off your arms and brill them back in you, or it didn't feel very Raiden-like. Again, that's me being picky, but then it's like...
Yeah, but then again, you saw the Cassie Cage one and you lost your goddamn mind.
I totally did. That was really, really, really creative. It was a different one.
It's like, think of the Garrus one. Yeah, like
this Garrus one
face
is very...
palm in the back of your head and now your face and your brain are coming, like,
but
what?
It's not very intuitive. It's not very sandy either, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
but, you know, like their theme right now, you know, you see the blood splatter and the slow motion of it. Like, you see it more often, right? Like, they're emphasizing that. So these fatalities are also being designed to emphasize this kind of theme that they have for the game. But yeah, like I said, it's a dope video. Go check it out.
I'm sure that's great. Like they probably have so much fun creating.
Oh yeah. He says it in the video and in the Combat Cast, they were like, so we'll be in a boardroom meeting or we'll be in a meeting with a bunch of people on the team. We'll be like, it'll always start with, hey, I think Johnny K should like do this and that. And that's how it starts.
Yeah.
And from there we start storyboarding. And then like, we're talking, you know, a month or so of just refining it.
Yeah.
And now imagine doing that 50 times over.
Well, remember in MK... That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Now, remember in MKX, they had the little storyboards of the little stick figures.
Yeah. Was done by Ed Boon. That's how he starts it off. And in the Combat Cast, they actually show a storyboard of them working on the Johnny Cage one too, which is really sick. Go check that out. It was such a good show. So, the last thing we actually want to talk about here in Randoms is Samurai Showdown. We had that new trailer that popped up. You guys covered that last week. This is just a quick update. The current build of it, or the first build of it, will be at PAX East. And PAX East is at the end of the month. So that will be before Combo Breaker, which will also have it, you stated.
Yes.
March 30th, 31st at PAX East. If you're going to be out there and you're a fan of fighting games, make sure to check out Samurai Showdown, as they will have a build there for everyone to play, which means we're going to definitely get some impressions. Mm-hmm. We're going to get some just firsthand looks as to like the damage.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big thing that people are tripping out about. Like, yo, you could just one hit kill someone in this game with the right move on counter. Like, it can just happen.
And I believe I heard something about, like, all right, I was watching a Maximilian video, and I think he said there's more damage if you hit the person behind them. Sort of like, you know, not Bushido Blade style, but like an actual samurai dishonorable kind of thing.
Interesting.
Kind of cool.
PAX East, if you got your ticket, make sure to go play it. And
let us
know. If you do, let us know. Tweet at us, definitely. Definitely tweet at us about it, because we would love to hear about it, because we're definitely going to cover it as soon as we can.
Even remember, the game has no W for Showdown, but make sure you get all your W's. Hey, that was cheesy. All right, sorry.
It was. We're going to move on. Actually, we're not even going to move on. There's like not even like a whole lot left. We do have one small thing for mod highlights. We don't have a focus attack this week, only because there was nothing that I wanted to bring up yet. I'm kind of trying to construct something, but I don't have it ready for this week's episode. It's definitely something I want to check out for next week.
Were you trying to revive Melee?
No. I am so mad I missed last week's episode. Like, I wanted to be on it for one, the Evo lineup, and just like the whole mess of drama that was that. We'll definitely talk about it again at one point, especially when we get closer to Evo.
Hungry Box, more like,
oh my
sad box.
God,
all right,
that was
enough.
Rough.
I'm
that was
sorry.
Rough. So yeah, mod highlights, guys. This is the home stretch. We are going to talk about it. And it's not even the traditional mod highlights. We're actually going to just talk about a specific mod. or for different games. This is actually a mod tool we're going to emphasize. This was uploaded by a Steven Chapman on YouTube. That's actually his channel. Mm-hmm. And this is a mod tool for SNK Heroines. So not a game that we've really talked a lot about. Right, I mean, it's been out in a while. It's been doing its thing, but in a sense of mods, really.
We only talked about it when we were skeptical of who's going to be coming out in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he actually shows a mod tool demonstration that he himself has been designing and been working on.
The Girl Skull Mania finally came out, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
yes.
what that is in the
and,
side.
And
Miss
X is also there. So Iori,
yes.
like female Iori is there. Mm-hmm. So he demonstrates a tool where he is able to actually, in real time, change variables in the game. Just straight up, disclaimer, he stated that he's not going to complete the tool until like the developers are done updating a bunch of things to kind of mm-hmm. get the game to a certain baseline.
Yeah.
Because the more times the developer updates the game, then code possibly changes and a tool might not work because it's, of course, using dated code.
Basically, when the game is
Not in a good place. Yeah. It's just like, in a spot to grow, then you'll see these kinds of tools come out. But yeah, he kind of demonstrates live here in his video that he goes into like the story mode and he has Mai and... Mai. Oh my goodness, why am I thinking the wrong name? Shermie.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah, well, that is Mai.
I read the bottom Mai, but Mai was a support.
That is, that is Mai and Shermie. It's pretty hilarious. You will kind of get a kick out of it. He's able to take just the variables and the values of different things in the game. The core values. That's what this game is full of. like during the cutscene, he can freeze the game actually outright, start moving the actual X and Y positions of the models, can start scaling. It's still technically pretty primitive, but it's supposed to be a proof of concept that he is able to change these variables. So, we're seeing it happen live in the actual game, in the actual cutscene, but then he goes into actual gameplay and he can start doing things like move the characters in the backgrounds, wherever really can change the scaling of them. Yeah.
Pretty funny. We're not just laughing at what each other are saying. We're laughing at what we're seeing.
You're going to watch the video and you're going to see why, but it's really cool. Like, you can change, aspects of the stage on and off.
Looks so stupid.
In the middle of a match, like in the middle of hit stun or the hit animation, you can freeze and then you can get the opportunities to make some really cool pictures, screenshots, very lewd screenshots as well.
Yeah.
It is what it is. We already know what's gonna happen. That's fine. We just wanted to highlight this because that means, this guy's putting in work to kind of create a really cool tool that, modders in the future can be able to then create, the costumes or even custom animations, possibly.
Switch, right?
Huh?
This is the Switch version, or
this is on PC.
PC, okay.
This has to be on PC.
I don't know.
This is definitely on PC.
I thought the game only came out on Switch.
No,
but it was available on Switch.
Yes, it's available on Switch.
PS4, and PC.
Yes. Even the speeds. You've seen my speed, her movement is just insanely fast. Especially when he like scales her completely down, and now she's just like a little flea.
Yeah, she's like, what's the character from? Is it Samurai Showdown or just...
The little guy that's with... I cannot remember
Freddy
his name.
Freddy Krueger character?
Freddy Krueger character.
Yeah, I call Freddy Krueger.
Oh my goodness, yeah. We just wanted to highlight this. So, Stefan Chapman, awesome tool. Great to see that you're doing some work out there. I'm just looking forward to the mods and the cool things you're going to be able to do with it. Just want to put the good work out there. The guy's just...
That's pretty funny.
Doing something dope.
Yeah,
make sure to go check out that video. Make sure to hit like and just follow along. With his work, the guy does some pretty good stuff.
That's right. Mods don't just go to outfits. Mods go to actual game mods.
Yeah, man.
Completely. All right.
But with that, actually, is going to close out our episode, guys. Thank you very much for hanging out for another episode of Double Tap.
Real quick, it's like the tiniest mini focus attack. Go check out on Twitter. There was some discussion between Counter-Strike and FGC. Have you seen that?
That's been going on since Sonic Fox won his award.
Okay,
so
cool.
I've kind of been just keeping a blind eye on it because it's like Counter-Strike, yes, team-based game, many more variables, but then fighting games, like nothing is as fast as fighting games when it comes to that. Like
viewing, watching.
Like just you can it's so many sides to the coin, so many different walks of life. Like I'm not even bothering to argue who has to work more for it. At the end of the day, everyone's any athlete, you're all beautiful fucking unique snowflakes, yada yada yada, right?
I just wanted to bring it up. It was an interesting topic, but that's fine.
If it escalates anymore, maybe we'll address it.
And if you feel as though you, the listener, feel as though you want to talk about something along those lines, let us know in the Discord, which is...
Well, I'll plug the Discord in a second.
Damn, I was trying to do another beautiful segue.
No, well, we do social media usually before Discord, bro. My bad. how long you been on here?
Oh, man. I'm leaving. No,
thanks again, guys, for hanging out for another episode of Double Tap. The show isn't here without the fans, without the supporters. Yes. So once again, thank you for hanging out for another rant. You guys can check out this show's Twitter at Double Tap FGC. You can check my Twitter at #VS.
Static Gorilla for me.
On everything under the sun.
Pretty much.
You can join our Discord.
No space.
At discord.me/mashthosebuttons. And of course, discord.gg/nerdstreetgamers. Feel free to drop the podcast any questions or any kind of comments you would like. We're usually lurking on there, talking to people, playing matches. You know, some cats out there are asking for matches. We'll see if we can link up.
I need to find the time. But I'm definitely down for matches in Smash, Street Fighter, Dragon Ball, whatever you like. Try it out.
You guys can also leave comments and all on whatever podcast platform of your choice. Mm-hmm. You can also leave reviews on those podcast platforms, because those are really good for us, because we like to read those. We of course post them on the show, because we like to get some feedback from you guys as to what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and what we can do to improve. Sharing the show is definitely also very supportive. If you guys can. I know technically the social media page for Double Tap has been kind of a little lax. I actually have to get back onto it. Retweets, sharing it, tagging those that you might want to listen to a specific episode, feel free. It always helps support to kind of get more ears listening. As much as we don't market the show, funny enough, it's all done by the supporters, like word of mouth right now, which is really cool. And we appreciate every retweet, every like we get, man. Yeah. Every time we get that double tap to like.
Yeah, anytime we get the likes on Twitter.
Yeah, much love for that. Thank you for the support.
Definitely, we appreciate it.
You guys feel free, definitely stay tuned after the show to see everything else that's going on the MTB network. Yeah. Once again, make sure to follow Nerdstreet Gamers at N3RDST Gamers, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Catch you later. Bye.
Peace.